fighting a really tough cold that this joker just doesn't want to go. Right, rebuking him before all y'all. I'm rebuking the sickness that is upon me and upon anybody else in this house right now. I'm rebuking the sickness that is upon this body right now in Jesus' name. I rebuke you. Go some foreign place where there's no one else and stay. In Jesus' name, pray. This is the time of year when we're all making resolutions, New Year's resolutions. The most common ones that we make are what? I'm going to eat better. I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to go join a gym. And not Jim's Pizza, but gym. We're going to take better care of ourselves. We're going to spend our money more wisely. Those resolutions usually last a few weeks to a couple months or to when you're in a hurry and you're hungry and you pass your favorite burger joint. When you got to go in there and get that Whataburger jalapeno cheeseburger with avocado. My wife's favorite. But I want to talk to you about some real changes. Some changes that need to happen. Starting with me. That's usually the best place to start with, is look at that guy in the mirror. And start with him or her. And make the change. I'm going off script now, but hang on. It's not a far trail. A short one. I'm reading a book by John G. Lake, about John G. Lake. Man lived in the 1870 to 1935. This guy would go into hospitals and empty them out. CDC wrote about him. 100,000 people healed. Is God a respecter of persons? What? What? Okay. This gospel that we preach is a strong man's gospel. The enemy has overtaken us too many times. Why? Because we have allowed the enemy in. We have allowed the enemy come in and make us sick, attack our finances, attack our families, attack our church. We have allowed the enemy in. Enough. Enough. This is a strong man's gospel. What does the word meek mean? It doesn't mean some little skinny guy that's shitting in his boots. It means controlled power. Christ was full of controlled power. Anytime he could have called down angels and wiped out everything. He endured everything for us. He took on the beating and everything else. For me. Give me a second. anything going on in this world today that we're so distracted by. We can't watch TV because what's the old saying? Sex sells. It's on TVs. It's in the magazines. You can't drive down the highway without seeing billboards. You cannot walk through this world today without getting dirt on you. No matter how innocent you try to be, there's no way you can do it without getting dirt or dust on you. And some people even dive even further into the filth. Want to wall around in it. And then they'll wonder why things are the way they are. This is a strong man's gospel. And for us to be able to fight off the enemy, we have to use this gospel of strength and power to do it. We can rebuke the enemy. We can come against the enemy all times. We can make him flee. Just by the power of the name of Jesus Christ. The enemy knows his name, and they shake and they fear from him. Gospels say that he'd show up and they start being scared and saying, have you come to sentence before time? There's power in his name. There's power in his blood. One single drop was enough to cure the world. And he gave all. Now I'm coming back on sermon. I want y'all to watch a video that I've had very difficult time watching myself, by Christina Aguilera, of all people. On weekends, when I'm doing my paperwork for the pantry, I listen to YouTube, whatever's coming on. America Got Talent, Britain Got Talent, whatever. Anybody, Russia Got Talent, whatever that comes up. And I heard this lady sing this song, and it struck me so hard that I had to stop what I was doing and wipe my face from all the tears. And I had to go look it up and see what it was, and it was Christina Aguilera. And there's a little bit of a Catholic overtone in it, but that's all right. It's a very good video. I want y'all to watch it and really look at the words of what is being said. And then I want you to look at that person in the mirror and go from there. She said it all right there. How many times do we actually hit our knees? How many times do we actually hit our knees? You can go on Google and type in what it's sin. And press enter. In less than 5 seconds, you'll get 1,960,000,000 results on what sin is. 1,960,000,000 results of what sin is in less than 5 seconds. That's pretty freaking amazing. They'll even tell you to give you a description. In a religious context, sin an act of transgression against the divine or natural law. Sin can also be viewed as that endangers the ideal relationship between an individual and God, or any division from order of living. Sin endangers the ideal relationship between an individual and God. That's what I take most from that word, from that meaning. The things that I do, the things that I've done, the things that I still do, endangers my relationship with God Almighty. The things that I still do endangers my relationship with Christ. All I do is open my mouth. Whether it be on the highway, be at work, which is usually the best place to do it. Or even to my own family. Even unkind words. Get mad. Because something I perceive is wrong. The reality of it is, I'm wrong. My perception is skewed. The word sin occurs 448 times in 389 verses in the King James. The word sin actually means missing the mark. As a bowman would take an arrow and shoot at a target, and he misses anything, gets anything but the bullet, he's missed the mark. What's the bullseye? I've lived 99.9% of this book. I still missed the mark because I got that 0.1 out there. Now I gotta get over these shakes. Good thing you can't see my boots. Matthew 15:19. For out of our heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adultery, fornication, theft, false witnesses, blasphemy. And that's out of the Christian. Even worse for those who don't believe. They don't believe in this. Mark 7:21-23. From within, out of our hearts of men, perceive evil thoughts, adultery, fornication, murder, theft, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, a word I can't say because I can't pronounce it, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. It's eating pork. It's not eating without washing your hands. That's not what defiles a man. What defiles a man is his evilness in his heart. What defiles a man is the thoughts that come out of him that he doesn't take captive. Most of y'all know sometimes when you're talking, as soon as you open your mouth, you know it's going to be wrong. But you let it rip anyway. It says, take every evil thought captive. If it couldn't be done, he wouldn't say do it. If you're like me, I'd be already jumped off the diving board and going towards the swimming pool and realizing, hey, there's something missing here. Usually it's the water. Splat. It's like that bug hit my windshield at 60 miles an hour. Splat. With this being the time of year where we make those resolutions, why not try something different this time? Let's try something totally different. Let us become before God on our face, flat out on the ground, and beg for mercy, and beg for forgiveness for all we've done. Let us start a new year totally clean. Real quiet. Even the crickets aren't talking. Most people take this end of the year and go out and party, and believe me, when I used to really walk in the world, I've been to some fantastic parties. Remember some of them. Don't remember a whole lot of them. I guess that's good. So I wouldn't have to admit all the things I did. Today we allow things to happen because we don't want to look different. Do you know that the word says we are called to be a peculiar people? What does that mean? We're called to be different. We're called to be that light on the hill. We're called to be salt that preserves. We're called to be friends. We're called to pray for those around us. We're called to lay hands on the sick. And they will recover. Not if it be thy will. It is God's will that you, the sick, recover. What does it say where Jesus went? Everywhere he went, the sick were healed. He laid hands on all of them. And it says over and over and over and over and over again that they were all healed. Today, not even the big-name pastors can stand up. There's pastors that have interviews on TV, and because they don't want to ruffle any feathers, so questions are asked, do you believe abortion is wrong? Well, the first thing I want to do is talk to the person and find out what their name is. What kind of answer is that? Famous recording stars ask, do you believe homosexuality is wrong? Him hawing all the way around it. Never answered the question. Does the book say it's wrong? Does the book say that homosexuality is wrong? Does the book say that lying is wrong? Does it say murder is wrong? Envy. On and on. It says it's wrong. Sin. So next time you open your mouth, say that little thing that, man, it's just a little bit white lie. It's full out white lie. It's a lie. That's no different than if you murdered somebody in God's eyes. You know, when your wife comes and says, does my look too big in this? And you already know the answer, whatever you say, dad, anyway. Why, honey, it fits you perfectly. As you're walking out the door, fast as you can go. Lord, then you have the things which people are yelling for tolerance. You must be tolerant. You must be tolerant. Those same people are so intolerant of the Word of God. People who live an alternative lifestyle tell us we're wrong and not to judge them. Because God made me this way. God did not make you that way. What's happened to the church? 50 years ago, that wouldn't have been tolerated. 50 years ago, when it said black is black and white is white, the color we know is gray. They've taken things that belong to God, the rainbow, and made that one thing. That's their symbol. Is that sin? Yeah. Do I live in sin? Yes. Have I committed sin? Yes. We need to tell the world by standing up and showing them by hitting our knees and begging forgiveness and mercy. The church has lost her way. And that is really sad. That is painfully sad. We need to seek forgiveness while it still may be found. You know what that means? It means he's coming soon. Christ is coming back for a pure bride. Coming back for a pure bride. Are we going to be ready? Am I going to be ready? I'm not going to ask y'all. Am I going to be ready? am I going to be the pure bride Christ is looking for when he comes back? When that call is put out, am I going to hear that trumpet blow? Am I going to meet him in the sky? Will I have back in the last couple weeks? Not no, but heck no. I'm telling you right now, I've sinned before people. I've cursed them out. I've dropped a couple F-bombs in one sentence. I've wanted to lay hands on people repeatedly. That's just the beginning. I've walked around with anger inside of me. Contempt, not content. But I also know how to fix it. And in my stubbornness, I don't. So they deserve what I told them. Oh, yeah? Oh, yeah? So that means I deserve what I get. If I can't show mercy, how much mercy is going to be shown to me? If I can't show grace, how is grace going to be shown to me? And I'm a pastor. That just means I'm a bigger target. The enemy definitely likes going after people that are supposed to be in charge. When we were in the military, my basic job was being a radio man. I was an infantryman with a radio on my back. What'd that mean? Well, that means when you go out on patrol or you go out into fight, first thing the enemy has already been taught is to kill the communication man. Shoot the guy with the radio. Didn't think about that when I took the job. The guy tells me, he says, well, it's just like being a disc jockey on a radio. Yeah, you get to talk on the radio and thinking, yeah, out of the Army, I could be a DJ. That'd be pretty cool. You know? Then I realized I'm the number one target. They hit the radio man, take out communications first. Then they go after the leadership. Go after the guy who looks like he's leading. Take him out, then everybody else is easy. Think, 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 think. You take out communications, what happens? So I'm not communicating with God, what's going on here? If I can't talk to God, or if I'm refusing to talk to God, that means I can't hear from God. Does it? My radio's broken. My receiver's not working. Transmitter's not working right. If I can't communicate with God, what is there? What's left? Anybody? There's nothing left. If I can't communicate with God, there's nothing left. Pardon me? I'm already in chaos because I'm not communicating with God. You're not communicating with God. We're all not communicating with God. Well, we've got to go into our little closet and sit down and, you know, make sure we got our pillows down for our knees. Lean against the bed just before we go to sleep and say, Hi, Father. Our Father. Are the rest of it go? Oh, yeah. Is that how it works? In a battle, you want to be able to communicate to headquarters as quickly as possible to get some more firepower to come in to help you in the situation you're in. Ask Daniel. 21 days, he prayed. The angel finally came through and said, dude, we got your message in 21 days ago. We just had a little bit of a firefight between here and there. Had to get Michael to come in and say, ha, 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 ha. We ain't playing this no more. Pray. Don't give up. You hadn't got the answer. You hadn't prayed hard enough. Well, it may be his will that I bear all this sickness. It may be his will that I don't have that better paying job. It may be his will. For this, that, or the other. Who knows the will of God? I do. Why? Because I've read his book. He wants us to prosper. Does that mean we got to be filthy rich? No. Some of us think that would be nice. But then you're more worried about being all righteous. Who knows? His will is that we be healthy and we be joyful and we be content. His will is that we go out and we pray for others and we lay hands on others and we see them receive healing, being healed, wholeness. His will is that we go over and hug someone who needs a hug. Or we talk to that person who hasn't been talked to in a while. You know, the homeless people tell you the one thing they miss the most more than anything else is physical contact. And to give someone physical contact, that means you've got to be right in their space. And you'll smell everything. The cheap booze, clothes that hadn't been washed since last time it rained, on and on. Does that make them any less than we are? In God's eyes, does that make them any less than us? Sometimes I think they're freer than we are. Almost I know through the Bible better than me. They got much more time to read it, study it. We've had a whole lot of people coming and preaching to them about it. At some point, some of them couldn't even eat until they heard some of it. There's places you can go, unless you eat, unless you hear us teach us study first, you ain't eating. Dude, I'm hungry now. But you've got to hear the word of God first before you can eat. I believe the word of God wants me to eat. Can you say the word of God while I'm eating? We've sinned. We've allowed so much stuff to happen. Oh God, have mercy on our soul. That song I've listened to, I don't know how many times. If you listen to it on a better receiver, it'll really, really get to you. Hebrews 4, 12 to 13. For the Logos, the word of God, is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even through and dividing asunder the soul and the spirit, the joint and marrow. The discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifested in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. There ain't nothing you do that he don't see. There ain't nothing you don't think that he don't hear. It's kind of hard. That means you can't get away with nothing. It's like when your kids are small. All right? And they're going to sneak in and get them cookies. And you can be sitting right there in the living room. And they're thinking they'd be so sneaky coming down the hallway and this, that, and the other. They get into the kitchen. They open the package. They take out the cookies. They forget to leave the package closed. They sneak back to the room. They get back to the room and you're sitting in there. Uh-huh. Thought I didn't hear. Parents know that when it gets really quiet, you really need to look. If there's some noise going on, everything's fine. But when it gets quiet, what happens? Skullduggery. Somebody's up to something. Joshua 1:8. Study this book of instructions continually. Meditate on it night, day and night, so that you will be assured to obey everything written in. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. The book's there for a reason. God has maintained it. God seen to it that we have it. But what I need to tell you now is you need to come before the Lord. We all need to come before the Lord. And we need to be echad. We need to be one in him. In our purpose, in our thought, in all we do. As the Holy Spirit, Jesus, and the Father are all one in everything they do, we need to do the same. We need to be one in Christ. One body, one mind, one heart, spirit, and soul. We need to ask forgiveness. We need to seek forgiveness. Because there is a day coming soon. Jesus said, if my words are living in you, and you are speaking them as they pass them, I will live in them as they pass through your lips. The word of Christ begins a living thing in our lips. Speak death. I tell you to speak life. I tell you now to seek mercy and grace. Give mercy and grace. I tell you now to ask for forgiveness. First to God. And then he'll tell you who else you need to go ask forgiveness from. He'll make it just as plain as the nose on your face. Until.